Hello there. I'm
Oh,
Lori Hennessy. Hi, how are you?
hey. Good to see you.
You just popped up on my screen. Nice to talk to you. We are talking to Regina Malveaux, who's the head of the Washington Women's Commission. And I am so utterly excited to talk. We're discovering this is one of those connections where the more we talk, the more we discover that we want to talk. We have so many threads that join us, and I'm very excited about this conversation. Which, by
Yes.
the way, is perfectly timed because International Women's Day is March 8th. And it's a time where we lift up and we support women. And it's something that's really important to me. So before we get going, I just wanted to say welcome to Washington Game Changers.
Thank you. I am so excited. I've read through and listened, read through your previous
Yeah.
guests' podcast summaries, and I did have an opportunity to listen to a few of them, and I was just blown away by the amazing conversations and feel so honored to be a part of it. So thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's just wonderful. So first of all, tell us a little bit about the Women's Commission.
Sure. So the Washington State Women's Commission is actually sits in the office of the governor. So I'm a member of the governor's cabinet, and the Women's Commission was established in 2018 by the legislature with the goal of providing advice to both the legislature and the governor. So I understand that actually there were an amazing group of advocates who had for 20 years been trying to establish a women's commission. So eternally grateful for those women who persisted and made sure that policymakers continue to understand that there are really these significant disparities in so many areas that women face, and particularly women of color. And so the legislature's language, I think, was something very specific. It said the legislature notes that women face unique problems and needs for economic, social, and historical reasons. Many women find themselves disadvantaged or unable to access equal opportunity. And we believe it is important for all Washington citizens to achieve equal opportunity. So wonderful, just kind of sweeping mandates. So I had the good fortune of being appointed as one of the first nine commissioners. And then when my predecessor, Michelle Gonzalez, who was our first commission director, decided to move into another area of the state, I was able to move into the staff position. And I have had the good fortune of having a very meaningful career doing work that I love. But this position really feels like it is the position that all the other ones prepared me for. And it's work that I would do for free. And so I just feel enormously grateful to folks like Beth Dolio and Ann Simon and the whole group of advocates who just persisted in making sure that the women of Washington and their needs were taken seriously.
So what are the sort of things the Women's Commission does? It's basically, are you bringing anything that happens legislatively? They check in with the commission to see what the impact would be on women, or is it looking at trends?
So all of the things, all of the things. So I like to say that we look to engage and partner with not only policymakers, but state agencies, community organizations, and community leaders, because for every problem, there are a multitude of ways that you might solve it. And almost always those ways involve partnering better. And so particularly during legislative session, I'd say probably the majority of our work is legislative advocacy and signing in and talking to legislators about specific bills. The commission has only proffered a couple of our own bills since we started in 2018, but there are several really important ones. So the issues that we work on tend to fall under four categories. So health, gender-based violence related issues, so our safety committee, economic security, so those would be issues like safety net, social safety net issues. So TANF, working connections, affordable housing, homelessness, all of those issues fall under that committee's work. And then economic opportunity, which is where we're really looking at the how do we create amazing pathways for, you know, our kids, you know, from the moment that they're born until they, you know, grow into, you know, young women and men. And so, yeah, so our work falls really under those four categories. We have four subcommittees that work on those issues. But during session, I very much feel like a full-time advisor to my colleagues in the legislature and in the governor's office.
So what, you know, I looked at your resume, which is amazing. It's just been a wonderful journey. Tell us a little bit about along the way, you've done so many different things, but one thing I did see is that you had worked at the YWCA, I think, or been involved with the YWCA, and this issue of homelessness or those living in homelessness often affects women and children, and often women and children of color. Tell us a little bit more about maybe some of the things that you saw when you were working in that world, or some of the things that we want other people to see about that world.
Sure. So I started my career, I started college actually with the intention of being a journalist. So that's another thing that you and I have in common. and then changed majors and was a business major for a short time until the math and I, you know, had challenges with one another. But then I had the really amazing good fortune of meeting Marion Wright Edelman, who you probably know as the president. Yes. The president emeritus now, but president and founder of the Children's Defense Fund, which is an advocacy organization based in Washington, D.C., that really has for, you know, 40 years been, 40 years or longer, been, you know, a staunch advocate in Washington for lower income and poor women and children. And so when I met Mrs. Edelman, I decided, nope, this is what I'm going to champion for children. And so I'd already shifted my academic journey in order to pursue a degree in social policy. And so my departments were social work, child and family studies, and political science. And that happened during a time when I was ending a an abusive marriage. I had little kiddos who were 1.5 and 3, and found myself in a moment in time where I was too ashamed to admit to my family kind of what was happening. And so I didn't attempt to reach out for the support that, you know, we really needed through you know, the people that knew and loved me, and ended up needing to try to access some of the social safety net programs, and just experienced so many barriers and so much indignity in doing that. And I just remember thinking, if I and my private school education am having such a hard time navigating these systems, I can't imagine how unbearably difficult it is for other people. And I'm a very assertive advocate. And I had insight into just how difficult life is for so many people, unnecessarily, right? And one of the things I'm proudest of relative to working for Washington State is that, you know, the more I've learned about the systems, particularly as I've come to state government, and then even when I was running the YWCA, we really do, I think, try to eliminate barriers as much as is possible. And I have great respect for Secretary Ross Hunter, who leads in the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. And, but yeah, so it essentially was my own experience with experiencing, quite frankly, poverty and systems for the first time that made me realize that I wanted to build my career in social work and social justice. And the YWCA's mission is eliminating racism, empowering women, and promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. when we met one another, the organization and I just knew that it was the kind of place I wanted to best my career mm-hmm. in. And so I spent more than half of my career working in and leading YWCAs, and feel so grateful for that mm-hmm. opportunity. Before coming to the commission in 2020, in the director role, I was CEO of the YWCA of Spokane, mm-hmm. Served a little over 17,000 women and kiddos each year. And our services included, to your point, emergency shelter, additional mm-hmm. housing, some housing voucher, mm-hmm. Assistance and technical yeah. assistance. Also we operated 5 ECAP programs. So ECAP yeah. is the state of Washington's version of Head Start.
Yeah.
So much opportunity to what's really hard about mm-hmm. hard and beautiful actually about working at a place like the YWCA mm-hmm. is you often meet moms and their kiddos. It's yeah. usually moms, sometimes it's dads, but you meet moms and kiddos at what is oftentimes the yeah. most traumatic moment in their lives.
Yeah.
But the beautiful news is more often than not, you mm-hmm. also have an opportunity to help connect them with the resources and the supports that they need mm-hmm. to have the kind of life that they deserve. Mm-hmm. And so just wow. so much about the beautiful resilience of the human spirit, while at the same time also getting a really close up view of how hard sometimes we cities, government, for people who need the basics that we all need, want, and deserve.
This is another area where the intersection that we've sort of talked about between us. One of my organizations that I have worked with a lot in the past was Mary's Place,
yes,
in Seattle, and I used to volunteer on a couple of committees, and then there was a while where we did this thing with one of my favorite people, Marty Hartman, who runs Mary's Place, and we would do these trainings where I would get in a room with her and maybe 7 or 8 staffers and just train them on how to talk about what they do. Yes. Because it's something a lot of people struggle with because it's such sensitive work and it's hard to talk about.
Talk about all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of the things I found out along the way working with Marty is they had a program called Popsicle Place. Mm. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but Popsicle Place.
It sounds delightful.
Well, I hate to say it's a nice name for a program, but what it is, there are so many women and children who actually face critical healthcare challenges while living in homelessness, yes. including cancer. And so Popsicle Place was the name of this program that was trying to grant wishes and help women and children going through traumatic health experiences while living in homelessness. It was just one of those programs where as if any of us ever need to be reminded about the relative ease that we live in our lives. Yes. Whenever I worked with Mary's Place or went and met with people who had been through Popsicle Place, I mean, it's tough enough, obviously, having your child in pain, but then going through that while you have housing insecurity too. Oh, I just couldn't even imagine. So anyway, if anyone's out there, Popsicle Place has a website, I think, at the Mary's Place location where you can donate.
Thank you for introducing me to that. I look forward to reaching out and learning more about their program.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Well, you mentioned a little bit in passing about some of the things you saw at the YWCA in terms of the early learning piece, in terms of ECAP and in terms of parents and children, and how we see that loss begins very, very early for kids who don't know where they're perhaps sleeping or have a lot of things going on in their family. That's an area where at LEV we're very focused is yes. That early learning difference. Can you talk a little bit more about some of the things that you observed when you were there?
Absolutely, and thank you for that. I pulled this out because it felt very relevant and important to me. So my very first kind of act as a new activist child advocate was with the school board. And this was my flyer with a picture of then 3-year-old Kayla, who's now 30. And they were getting ready to shut down the school-based preschool programs. And you know, it obviously threw me and all of the other parents into a panic. You know, I didn't have the means to afford child care. I was on a really, really, really long wait list to get assistance from a program like Working Connections. And it was a moment in time when I just realized how early learning is not only, it's you know, absolutely critical for kids. We'll talk a bit more about that, but just in terms of the family stability, right? Yeah. Because if I had not been able to have care for her and my son, who actually was a little bit older, I, you know, would have been able to continue in school and would have had a hard time meeting my work schedule, et cetera. So, and then what we know is that, you know, all of that amazing development in the brain happens 0 to 5, but 0 to 3 in particular, right? Yeah. And the kiddos that get all of the good stuff and the nurturing and the information that's fed to them intentionally, you know, through either parents who are obviously their first teachers, but also, you know, the amazing committed trained professionals who commit themselves to, you know, early childhood education.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it's so, I think heartbreaking to realize how many kiddos begin kindergarten so far behind that many of them never can catch up, right? And it doesn't have to be that way. And what's wonderful is, again, I'm a California girl by birth, and my family is originally from the South, but I love Washington State, and I'm so proud to, you know, to work with the state, because we really do a lot of things well. And I know that you know that during the last legislative session, this landmark Fair Start for Kids Act was passed. And it's a historic investment and represents the largest investment in early learning in the state history. And what it's gonna do is actually create more affordability and access to care and early learning, not just for families who traditionally qualify for subsidized childcare through programs like Working Connections, but for more middle-income families as well. And so that not only, you know, really helps lift the burden of families who are trying to navigate child, you know, finding and paying for childcare for their kiddos so that they can just go to work or school, but also it means more kids are going to get access to those trained professional early childhood development professionals. And, you know, as I said, you know, having, you know, run a large organization with several ECAP programs, I can tell you that the people who choose that career path, as you know, they're not well paid. They are deeply, deeply passionate about kiddos, and they can transform a child's experience. And so what I've learned, both as, you know, someone who once had small children myself, those early childhood professionals as your partners, there's just nothing like it. And it makes such a difference for kiddos. I actually want to share a little personal nugget here around that. So when my daughter was born, she was 18 months. My son was 18 months old when my daughter was born, and I had a full-time job working at the credit union, and I was going to college. And I was someone who was eager actually to go back to work right at the 6-week mark.
Yeah.
But I knew that with the second baby, it was just going to be more difficult. Yeah. In terms of the logistics of trying to get to and from childcare. Yeah. And I was able to find and hire just an amazing, amazing woman. Her name's Maria. Mm-hmm. And she happened into our lives about the same time or shortly before the domestic violence in my marriage started ramping mm-hmm. up. And like to this day, and thankfully I'm connected. I love Facebook. She and I reconnected about 10 years ago. And what's beautiful to watch is, you know, when I post things, you know, with my kids, my grandkids, you know, she clearly loves them as much as I do. And that is just such a gift, you know. Mrs. Clinton used to have, I mean, she has a book called, you know, The Village, which, you know, obviously a proverb. And that's true. None of us gets through this, you know, parenthood journey without support. And so the fact that, you know, our state has committed to invest significantly to make sure that more parents have that kind of support and more kiddos have the early start that they deserve is just something we should be very proud of, I think.
Yeah, I actually I did a podcast interview with Representative Sen, and we were talking about it, and I said, you know, sometimes we don't know that we're changing history when we change it. Sometimes it's just so natural to kind of a few years later say, oh, wow, that was a pretty big deal. But we're all trying to do that now.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a huge deal.
Well, what I said to people is, you know, we've been working on these issues for 25 years, and this is a historic moment. So I definitely recognize it as such. So much so that we actually, the Women's Commission recently created our first, so it's the Marion Wright Edelman Award. And we gave it to both Senator Claire Wilson and Representative Tennyson for their leadership in Fair Start, because it is such, it's going to have such a long-term, you know, foundational impact for families.
Yeah. I love hearing that. All right. That proves that we're going to hashtag them in the, when I put this on our Twitter feed. Heads up to Tana and Claire. You guys are going to want to watch it.
That's awesome. Wonderful. Awesome advocates.
That's so great. Boy, the time is flying. I have time for one more question probably, and then just a few housekeeping things that I want to go through. It's International Women's Day on March 8th again. So, I just wanted to say, I love the photos, since we are Facebook friends. I love kind of following along with you and your daughter. Just the congratulations on, you know, raising just a wonderful, strong 30-year-old woman. I mean, there is nothing like that. So I just, well done.
Thank you. There is nothing like that. And I think the fact that I was a single mom for the majority of my journey, some days makes it feel miraculous that, you know, so many things have turned out as well as they have. She just graduated from college a couple of years ago. She, you know, kind of took her own path. And I feel like I was more excited at her graduation than I was at my own law school graduation. And my kiddos were 5 and 7 when I started law school. You know, you and I've talked about this, and I know that you have a quote.
Yes, I will share the quote. It's a beloved quote. So before we say goodbye, I just wanted to share a few things with everyone. You know, we've talked, and among the many things that the two of us have been talking about is this idea of spreading the word to everyone about things like sexual harassment. So this is a shameless plug. I'm a speaker with Humanities Washington, and I give a talk about sexual harassment, specifically about my own experiences on Capitol Hill. So people can find me at Humanities Washington if they want to book a speech. It's very fun. And we were just discussing before this began, I'm so excited because I'm going to Whitworth to meet with college students. And to me, that is the audience to have this conversation with. Also, we talked about the National Women's Political Caucus. I'm on the board there, and we're always open to more volunteers. So if someone out there is listening to this and getting inspired, we're happy to take volunteers anytime at the caucus if you want to help us raise money to get women elected. How can people get involved with the Women's Commission? Is the best thing just to follow what you do? Should they go to your website? What's the best thing?
Both and absolutely. So Facebook is our primary means of communication. We are intending to join the Instagram world soon when we have the right folks to curate that content. But yeah, folks who follow along on the Commission Facebook page will not only kind of get our community education and events, but also calls to action and opportunities. So we really encourage folks to follow along on Facebook. And then visit the website for kind of deeper information about issues. And there is a place where folks can join to receive our newsletter and or indicate if they have an interest in potentially serving either on the commission itself or on one of its subcommittees. So thanks for asking.
And what's your website again? Is it just
www.wswc.gov, as in Washington State Women's Commission.gov.
Yeah. Right. And we'll add that to
a Google search does it.
Okay, great. We'll add it in the notes too. So we were talking earlier about how, as the two of us have started having conversations, this sort of theme as we head into International Women's Day is the pride that we feel in our own women. So I wanted to give a shout out to my young women who are 26 and 24 now, which is just shocking to me, and share the quote that you mentioned. Here's to strong women. May we know them. May we be them. May we raise them. Yes. I always get a little tingly when I hear that quote.
Absolutely, because that's what it's all about.
So I just want to say thanks to Emma and Lily, who are my two young women. And I keep saying I do have a husband. I guess I've just kind of absconded with them. So, and I have a son too. So in the meantime, boy, this has been delightful. See, I knew the time would fly by.
It did. And I thank you for accepting my invitation to join the commission for a discussion around your experience on Capitol Hill and your own lessons to help empower not just younger women, but all of us really. So I'm excited that you've agreed to join us during Women's History Month. In sharing that important story. So I'm excited that this is the first of what I anticipate will be many, many rich and fun conversations.
I agree. Well, this has been great. I can't wait to continue all of these conversations as we go forward. And as always, if anyone wants to come and find this podcast, we have a place at our site where you can get all the past podcasts. As Regina was saying, there's some really nice ones that you can track down. And you can find me on Twitter and all the other usual places. So please do that if you have any interest in following the progress of League of Education Voters. So thank you again. This has been so great. I really just want to say on behalf of the community that I am grateful for everything you've done.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I will look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Take care.